This discussion is brought to you by Government Communication and Information System, GCIS, a nation that works for all.
Morning, Poorties. This is Mokadi, and you are listening to Poort FM 88.2. Your voice, your power, your platform. Today, we're tackling a topic that's an urge, and it's an urgency and a necessity. It's the important ways men and boys can help fight gender-based violence. Well, every 3 hours, a woman is killed in South Africa, and that is sad to hear, and mostly by someone she knows. And according to the South African police report, 1 in 3 women has experienced some form of gender-based violence. But here's the truth. Change starts with us, especially with our men and boys. From the way we talk, joke, or raise our sons and call out our silence, we can rewrite the stories. Joining me today are 3 game changers. Petunia Lenono, and she's a spiritually centered psychologist with 19 years of healing hearts. Dominique Tibbles, former Miss SA finalist and founder of Belly to Brain, empowering communities wherever she go. And Clement Chauke, the thorn, so to speak, amongst the roses. But this is a different thorn that helps aspiring queen bold their reigning, bold their brand, bold who they are. A transformational speaker and founder of Miss Influence South Africa, teaching young men to build up and not break down. So stay with us. This is more than just a conversation. It's a movement. We are waking up. We are rising from within. Good morning, guests. How are you this morning?
A very good morning to you. But I think it's afternoon now. Yeah, it's afternoon.
No, my spirit is still sleeping. So
wake up.
Can we keep it like morning for another 2 seconds?
Yeah. So a very good afternoon you and all the beautiful listeners of Poort FM, your Kasi, your Stasi. I must say me and my team, we're excited to be here once again to tackle the topic GBV, which has become a... What do I call it?
Is it a pandemic?
Yeah, it has become a pandemic. And in our country, it has become a talk of every town, every city. So I'm glad that we are doing this. And as you have said, this is not just a conversation, but a movement.
Absolutely. You know, according to UNICEF South Africa, nearly 1 in 3 children has experienced some form of violence, whether emotional, physical, or sexual, and that's before the age of 18. Mm. Now, much of this happens in spaces that should be safe, like our homes, our schools, our neighborhood. But as we reflect on how men can become part of the solution, it starts with the world where we grow children in, the world where we grow up children. So, Clement, the question is to you. In your work and experiences, what are some practical ways men can intentionally create safe, nurturing environments for children, especially boys, that actively prevent cycles of violence later in life?
Thank you for that question. There's a profound saying that says, if you want to see a change in the world, become a change that you want to see. So it begins with you. And according to research, each and every one of us, we reflect the environment that which we come from. Mm-hmm. They have contributed to the building or the shaping of who we are in the society. The character that I've assumed as an individual, I've become that which I am because of what I consume, what I expose myself to. And we're living in a generation, of course, where unlike our forefathers, they only lived in the world that we are in, like the physical one like this. There's what we call a cyber world or a cyberspace, which is social media. Most of young people today, that's the space that they are living in. And whatever that we become exposed to, that on its own, it builds our cognitive behavior. Mm-hmm. Whatever that I'm going to do out there in the society, it comes as a result of what I consume on a daily basis. I've lived in 2 different worlds. I'm a believer, now I'm a Christian. Mm. I know how the world looked like before studying the scriptures or exposing myself to the word or to the word of God. And the moment I got into the space where I consumed scripture, my worldview completely changed. So with young boys, the question is, how can we build them young to become, you know, a positive influencers in the communities, if I were to put it that way? There's a profound scripture in the Bible that says, if you train up a child whilst they are still young, when they get older, they will not depart from those ways. Mm-hmm. So whoever that you have become as an adult, as a listener right now, there are things that were instilled in you when you were young. So if we wanted to build a better country from today to tomorrow, the future that we are looking forward to, we need to be intentional about that. Nobody in the world becomes a leader by default. We come from backgrounds where we're told that young people are future leaders. You don't become a leader by default. It takes an environment that is strategically designed for you to become a future leader. And then just to wrap up my point, whilst we're still on touching about, you know, the topic of GBV, which is a sensitive one, young people today, especially boys, they have this thing in them that says, you are, you know, I don't even know how to say it. Let's say, let me put it this way. Where you go as a boy, you're supposed to be a boss, if I were to put it that way. You're supposed to be a boss. Your presence must be felt that you are a man, you know. And then why do we do that? Why do we say to our young boys, when you are a man, it is your, the power must be seen. It's not supposed to be about power. We need to teach our young boys that a man is a protector, not somebody who exercises power in an abusive way. You must become a protector. Last week I was in Soshanguve. We were at a police station, and a police officer came carrying a panga. And then I asked him that, oh, so this nowadays police officers, mm-hmm. they carry pangas and not only guns. And the police officer, to his response, he said the following: I'm from a school right now, a primary school for that matter, and this panga that I'm carrying with me, I confiscated it from one of the learners. A young boy woke up in the morning, age around 9 to 10 years, went to a school with a panga, and then he purposed in his heart, because they asked him, why did you bring a panga to school? He said, I brought this panga because there's a teacher here who disrespects me, and I want to sort out the teacher. So the question will be, where does that mindset come from? The young boy, chances are, he grew up in a family setting or a community where there's this guy who's deemed to be a hero. Every time when this guy is angry, he takes a panga and then he goes around and say, I'm going to cut off this XYZ person because of they've done this to me. So the young boy is exposed to that. So now it is a message that is indirectly conveyed to him that next time when somebody bothers you, how do you deal with the emotion? You deal with the emotion by taking a panga and then strike the person with the panga. So those are the things that we need to look into, especially in our communities and our family settings. How do we deal with emotions? The way I deal with emotions, the way I solve problems, that's how young people around me, they're going to deal with their emotions and they're going to solve their problems.
The pen is no longer the sword. Anger has become that sword. And like you said, it's so misconstrued by the influence that we see outside within our communities. Because on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there are community fights happening. And our young men out there see this because they're looking up to that uncle in the street, you know, because that uncle most probably was an influential soccer player. And all of a sudden you see, okay, but he is bullying women. He is being like that. And what you says, whatever you consume from your environment, inevitably you become that. You know, they say a rotten apple, you know, it will just fester all the other apples within that too. And you mentioned about a strategic, you know, then you need to be strategic about how you are running your household, how you are running your environment. And we know that researchers have showed that the involvement of fathers especially are getting so less and less. And 80%, you know, most of the time, if a household is not run by a dad, especially your biological dad, that son, that woman, that girl child are more likely to end up in jail or more likely to end up in a very misdirected way of how he or she present themselves out there, or they will become the victim or the perpetrator at some point. Yet in South Africa, nearly 60% of our children grow up without their biological fathers, they're not even present in their life, you know. And Petunia, I can just understand how this has been your way of life every day. And why is it so crucial for men to be present and actively involved in parenting their own children? And how can we support more men in stepping into confidence, stepping confidently into that role, even when they don't have a strong father figure themselves?
Yeah, thank you so much for having us, and thank you for such an important question. I think for me, what is important is that men who are fathers, that's where we need to start. Mm. Let us look at ourselves first. Because remember that we also come from a generation that maybe didn't encourage us to talk about our feelings. Maybe we were traumatized as you were a child. Maybe you were exposed to psychological ills, whatever it may be. You have not dealt with it, and then now you bear a child. So it means that your feelings or your childhood, you're going to project it onto your child. So it's very important for our fathers to take a step back and heal that inner child first. Because it is very important for our male figures or for our fathers to talk about emotions with a boy child, especially. You know, we know that men are naturally not vocal people. They don't like to talk.
Absolutely.
That is a man, you know. As compared to us women, we can talk the whole day. We don't get tired. It's in our nature. That is how we have been created. But then we need to really create an environment where a boy child can voice out their emotions and their opinions without feeling judged. Because many times we rush to criticize. And the minute you criticize a child, if I can just make it very clear, the child does not stop loving you as a parent. They stop loving themselves. So they grow up with that injured personality. You know, they grow up with that distorted sense of self, which may impact negatively on the society as they grow older. So men, I know we are busy. You know, and women, we are working. You come home late. You are tired. You don't have time for your family. You don't have time. You know, let's be honest. We don't have time. You know, and we find that our children are really being raised by TVs, by social media. And who's on social media? From what perspective are they influencing your child? So it is crucial that we are there for our children, because we end up just sharing homes as people. We just share homes these days.
That's right.
We don't know each other. That is why your child can get involved in drugs in front of you. And you're not even aware of what your child is up to. So it is crucial to say that, you know, let us not leave everything to social media. You know, I would like a situation in our homes where we have a curfew for cell phones. To say at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, all of us, you know, in the home, we just put our cell phones aside and we interact with each other. You know, allow the boy child to express his emotions. Allow him to tell you how their day was. Some kids don't even have that space in the home to say, my day was like this. These are the challenges that I experienced, because it's just something that is cut off, is not encouraged in the family. So we need to open that culture of talking. Let us talk. Let us make it okay for the boy child to come forward and say, you know what, I'm angry. There's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
To say, I'm sad. Today I'm not feeling myself. Oh, I don't want to talk today. I'm not okay. You know, so we must make it safe for a boy child or even a girl child, you know, to be able to sit with those emotions. And as parents, let us not rush to solve the children's problems, you know.
Absolutely.
Many times as parents, we want to offer solutions. And that is where now we disable the child's thinking. So you rush, the child says, maybe I'm frustrated. You rush in with a solution. Why do you do that? Allow the child to have their own mind, to exercise their own decision making, because you're not going to be there with the child the whole time. So and sometimes it's important as parents to just let the child sit with the emotion, you know. If I'm frustrated, I don't have to take the frustration away from you. Let's teach the kids to delay gratification. You know, we are living in a fast-paced society where everything is fast. Fast food is fast, everything, everywhere. There's no time for anything. We don't even have time to cook proper meals. And because we are tired as parents, we are tired. You know, parents are tired. Honestly, you know, because they need to provide for the children. So you find that you end up throwing material things at the kids so that they just keep quiet, or you just remedy the situation by being materialistic. And that is where we lose it, because now the child grows up with the inability to delay gratification. That later on, when they are involved in a relationship and their partner says no, they don't understand that. They push their way because they are used to having their way all the time. And unfortunately, in most circumstances, it just ends in a way that we do not desire.
That we don't desire. That instant gratification, like you mentioned, give them a device, give them whatever their hearts desire. But there is no rule, there's no guideline, there is no responsibility attached to that freedom, so to say. And you spoke on trauma, and how trauma is everlasting. It really stays within the DNA. And that an unborn child can feel rejected even before it has been born. And that goes through the DNA. The importance of men talking. It's mental month, and for men's mental health. And it's important to know that you are not okay. It's important to cry, because strong men cry. And that shows emotional maturity from my point of view. But with all the trauma too, if it's not handled in a proper way, it can become toxic. And this toxicness I'm talking about in a masculine way, because that is very harsh. And Dominique, I want to pose this question to you. You know, the idea that men most of the time, or they must be aggressive, as Clement showed us, they're dominant or emotionally detached from their real manners. You know, this continues to fuel the cycle of violence, including gender-based violence. So the WHO notes that rigid gender roles and masculine norms are major contributors to violence against women across the globe. So Dominique, how can we begin to unlearn and challenge these toxic norms in our communities, in our society, in our ways, wherever we go? And what role can men play in reshaping a very healthy masculinity? And what does that look like to you?
So, is this one? So, as you alluded, that June is the mental health month for men. And if we refer to the verywellmind.com website, they refer to toxic masculinity as a collection of offensive, harmful beliefs and tendencies and behaviors rooted in traditional male roles, but taken to an extreme. And this dangerous idea of manliness perpetuates domination, homophobia and aggression that can be harmful to mental health of all genders. So not just to women. I mean, if you look at homophobia, you know, you might have a friend or there's somebody in the community who's gay, and you as this masculine, toxic masculine man, the person just comes and says hello to you, and they feel, you feel that they coming on to you, whatever, and you lash out aggressively, beating them, putting them in a hospital because they overstep the boundaries of stepping into your personal space. Where does that aggression come from? You know, it's not just the gender-based violence is not just restricted to women. There are so many men who have violence on them as well that they don't talk. The statistics that we read are reported statistics. Imagine the statistics that are not reported. In my group of friends, if I put my one hand up of five of us, and I think of five of us, one I can put down that never experienced sexual abuse or GBV. That's four out of five. That's 75%. That's crazy. So to change the dynamic, we need to be comfortable with honest conversations amongst our friendship circles, amongst ourselves. If you, a group of people out at a restaurant or at an event, and a youngster walks past, say a 10-year-old girl walks past, and one of your friends mouths off that something to the effect that, oh my gosh, if she was just a little bit older, I would, you know, tap that. Correct that person there and then, because why is their thinking so devilish that they would look at a child and have sexual ideas about, oh, if only she was older? Correct them there then. We're so afraid to offend someone. Now, offense is taken, not given. So by me creating correction, if you're offended by that, you have to check yourself about that offense. Are you offended because I have called you out on your truth? Are you offended because perhaps I'm accusing you of something that's not true, and we can have a conversation around that by going, this is not who I am, but then correct yourself. We're human. We make mistakes. We sometimes say things at the spur of a moment that perhaps we haven't thought through. You know, we need to take this to the schools and to educate our boys. God created Eve from Adam's rib as a partner, not as a subordinate. But there is a hierarchy. We need to allow men to be heads of households again. You know, the woman empowerment agenda has taken away the voice of the boy child in the room. We need to give them their voice back, but a voice of love, a voice of healing, with hearts and not hands, not with fists. But how do they know what to do when their upline, the persons that they are looking to for encouragement, their mentors could be that movie star, that actor on television that they're aspiring to, and their little brains are so in tune, they're sponges and they're sucking everything up, where they're going, where, oh, well, if this person, the whole hashtag MeToo movement, can get away with it, so can I. This is the communication thread that we live with. We need to go back to basics again and foundational phases again, where we teach people how to communicate with each other, how to love on each other, how to respect each other. If you're a boy and the girl in your classroom gets up and she has her period, don't laugh at her. Help her. Put your blazer around her and protect her. Teach them. You know, when I was in grade, standard five, we had sex education. Our parents had to sign a slip giving us, at standard five in primary school, teaching all of us collectively, boys and girls, about the male body and the female body and what happens. It's a beautiful thing that happens to a woman's body. But because it's this taboo, laughing behind the scenes, because we're getting educated by each other, not by the educated. We're teaching each other from what we have in our back pockets, and we're teaching each other incorrectly. So we need to be able to bring those children to not be shy, to have these honest conversations with each other, and to be the leaders that they are meant to be.
Absolutely.
This is a moment to inhale and exhale. It's like you mentioned, Dominique, these conversations are just not enough.
No.
They are not even being touched on in our educational system because it's so taboo. And yet daily, our daughters, our sons, our young adults, they go through body shaming. They have to deal with this. Our suicidal rate is skyrocketing. It's out the roof. We try to combat this in our church circles with our spiritual leaders. Unfortunately, that too is not enough. Mm-hmm. Talking about our cyber securities, is that enough when we go into our internet? What can we as South Africans still do more? What can the government still do more to make the awareness out there? This month, it is Pride Month. And yes, there are a lot of silent warriors. There are a lot of silent voices out there that has been harmed and it doesn't come to front. Now, there you have it, listener. Powerful insight and practical ways that men and boys can actively stand against gender-based violence, whether it's creating safe spaces for our children, showing up fully as fathers, or dismantling the harmful myth of toxic masculinity. The message is clear. Change starts with us. Ending gender-based violence is not just a women's issue. It's a human issue, and men must be part of the solution. A heartfelt thank you to our guest that came out today. You are incredible. And Clement Chauke for reminding us that safety starts at home and in every environment we shaped for our youth. Petunia Lenono, Prinsloo from now on, for highlighting the power of fatherhood and intentional presence. Dominique Tubbles, for courageously unpacking the importance of redefining masculinity. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time and your continued work within our communities. Let's keep the conversation going, and more importantly, let's start acting. You are listening to Poet FM, where real talk meets real change.
Thank you.
This discussion was brought to you by Government Communication and Information System, GCIS, a nation that works for all.